Keep the original box with all of the accoutrements you had with it, but in the new ones, stay simple. I also want to offer other options in terms of location. This is one of those times that you may not like what I have to say, but it has worked for me so many times that I'd be loath to exclude it. Put the new boxes exactly where you wouldn't put them if it were up to you, like the center of the room, or in a room like your bedroom. Again, the idea is for her to have no association with using the old litter box, and we all habitually place our litter boxes in the same general area. With box reintroduction, the general rule of thumb is to make the diametrically opposite choice so that the experience won't trigger the trauma all over again. Which cat is it? I feel so old when I say this, but man, back when I started this work, if we had access to the kind of inexpensive surveillance cameras we have today, I would have been able to solve so many cases so much more quickly. With an ongoing litter box issue, once you've narrowed down the most hit spots, you can have one of these cameras trained on the area. They are motion activated, so only when one of your cats moves into the sight lines will it start to record. It's a brave new world out there, you youngsters with your high-tech doodads. There are many surprises that will crop up as you collect data. I think one of the larger mistakes my multi-cat clients make is thinking that only one cat is committing the crime. You're basically ignoring the rules of graffiti. So many times, cats will imitate street gang turf warfare, tagging the same area over and over in a vain attempt to claim ownership. Even if initially it was one cat's misdeed, it's very easy for the other cats to misinterpret these signs. For example, let's say one cat is peeing outside the box because it's a physical issue. The other cats may take it as a territorial slight, and suddenly, you've got a pissing war going on. Another great benefit since surveillance technology became affordable to the cat masses is that we can blame the right cat. I can't even count how many homes I've worked in where the family had anywhere from 3 to 6 cats and were 100% convinced they knew who was doing all the peeing or pooping around the house, even though they had not a shred of evidence. They were convinced, based on the personality of the cat, that they were pinning the blame on. In the past several years, I just leave one of my cams with the clients to actually get data, and the result has been, in at least a quarter of those cases, that they had blamed the wrong cat. The camera never lies. CSI, Cat Scene Investigating, Blacklight Tips. I honestly don't know where I would be if I didn't have a UV light, aka a blacklight, to help me gather data and make interpretations when working cases that have a litter box component to them. If you have a urination issue in your home, a blacklight is just an absolute must. Here are some tips if you're a cat pee blacklight newbie. 1. Use the blacklight in the dark, or get the room as dark as possible. Information becomes very unreliable with ambient light. 2. The colors that fluoresce will change over time, going from a deeper orange-yellow to a white as the proteins break down over time. 3. Swirl marks indicate a spot that you used a cleaner on at some point, like those rug shampooers. It might look like spin art, in a bad way. 4. Don't panic when, even though you cleaned it a million times, you still see the urine spots under a black light, because cat pee breaks down the dye in the carpet, so it will always fluoresce no matter what, even when the smell and actual stain are imperceptible. 5. You can distinguish a fresh spot from a spot you've already cleaned. The fresh spot will fluoresce more brightly. 6. Make sure that each stain has a beginning and an end. Trace it, especially when you're looking around places like baseboards. Look at patterns. A circle on the floor signifies your cat letting go of his bladder. Spraying is usually on vertical surfaces, and the amount can vary. Little drops, most often in multiple spots, usually signifies a urinary tract problem. And finally, for all I've been suggesting that you do to resolve litter box issues, let's end the chapter with a few do-nots. The do-nots. Nothing can fray your nerves faster than dealing in the moment with an ongoing litter box issue. No matter how bad it gets, however, it is so important in those moments to step away from the cat. Remember, all you are doing is ramping up the anxiety, trying to punish when they have absolutely no idea why, all the while doing things in the name of training or teaching a lesson. So, remember, Do not pick up your cat and carry him to the litter box. Do not rub his nose into his pee or poop. Do not put your cat into a timeout because she peed outside the box. Do not lock her in the bathroom with a litter box and a dish for the next 3 days, or, God forbid, 3 months. Do not yell at her. Your cat will have zero idea, after about 2 seconds post-accident, why you are acting the way you are, or doing to them what you are doing, or, through your discipline, what lesson are you trying to teach. Literally, all you can do during this process is collect the data, clean up the mess, and move on. Armed with just a few frames of the movie, you're in no position to assess and in even less of a position to act upon what you see. Besides that, as we discussed in Chapter 9, punishment just doesn't work. So just don't do it. 21. Eso es mucho. Standing on that stage in Buenos Aires a few years ago, slowly realizing that nobody knew what the hell I was talking about, I vaguely remember poking my head above the smog of my public speaking nightmare to think to myself, I should write a book about cat mojo. That might keep me out of this kind of trouble, at least. Whether it comes to Saturday Night Fever or your beloved mojito cat, hopefully you now got the mojo in you, and in your cat. I also hope that your number of aha moments far outweigh the WTF moments. Along with that turnaround comes the banishment of words like randomly. Phrases like, out of nowhere, to describe your cat's behavior, and misguided anthropomorphisms about your cat hating you, your husband, wife, or kids. When I was alone, usually late at night, in my old shelter stomping grounds, surrounded by scores of these beings, I would often find myself frustratingly at the end of my human reasoning abilities. Cats, it seems, were taunting me with their inaccessibility. Just like many of you, I found myself feeling resentful of the four-legged firewall staring back at me. I had been a pretty lousy student at school. From beginning to end, my school years were pockmarked with wild inconsistencies. If the topic was purely theoretical, bookbound, forget about it. I was gone, daydreaming and clock-watching. If, however, the topic gave my creative side room to roam, that's when I was hooked and happy. In the case of cats, there were twin engines that roared to life, propelling me to the present moment. That creative side was fueled by learning about the raw cat. How absolutely miraculous it was that the ancestor was alive in front of me, parading their decidedly undomestic mojo, trying with every passing day, every tick of the evolutionary clock, to fit into our world. It was a club that I didn't just want to observe. I wanted to belong to it, and to pass that fascination along to everyone I met. Secondly, there was another clock ticking. If I couldn't crack the code on a daily basis and help nudge the raw cat into the modern world of house cat, then he could die. I found myself, in spite of my best efforts, emotionally vulnerable as individual relationships were forged, realizing that these innocents were looking to me for their happiness and their very lives. That's when everything changed. As I've said throughout this journey, the goal has never been about solutions, fixing a hole where the rain gets in, as the song goes. It's about your desire to protect your family from the rain. The building and strengthening of your mojo toolbox has been a consistent solution. The success you found in committing to empathy has given you the permission, so to speak, to explore cat guardianship as a two-way street, a relationship of value where compromise, not a sense of dominion, achieves harmony. Maybe you've just flipped through the book, looking fervently for a solution to a problem that's been driving you mad. Of course, that's why I've provided you with recipes. Achieving sanity in the short term is often the only way to keep this family unit intact during those end-of-your-rope periods. That said, I hope that you take my instruction as nothing more than a springboard from the world of cats with a capital C and dive into your cat's world. Recipes will only get you so far. If followed, they will keep you from starving, or at least from eating cold pizza and ramen for the rest of your life. But once you develop the intuition and imagination, you can build something that is yours, something that you can be proud of because you poured your heart into it. That's why I hope that at some point after the crisis passes, you'll take the time to explore all of the nooks and crannies of your cat's world. It's there that the one-time lousy student is waiting to share all of the juicy details that turn curiosity into fascination, appreciation into passion, and that ultimately turned him stark raving cat almost 25 years ago. Just as with any relationship, there will be head-scratching or head-banging moments when smooth sailing suddenly turns into choppy seas. For those times, here are a few mojo mantras to keep in the back of your mind as your journey of total cat mojo continues for years to come. First, when in doubt, go straight back to the ABCs of what builds raw cat confidence. The three R's, the confident where, and HCKE. These tools will always unlock mojo, no matter how old or young the cat is, the degree of trauma they may have had to endure, or any special needs that may inform their everyday life. And second, take a moment, as often as you can, to remember that you will never have it all figured out. Thinking that you have control over the outcome of any relationship will absolutely destroy it. Stay humble to, and remain a student of, the relationship itself. That was the hardest lesson I had to learn in the past, and the source of the most joy in my present. As a last note, I'd be remiss if I didn't mention that as members of Team Cat Mojo, we all have the obligation to pay it forward. There are too many cats, millions of them, that would do anything just to have a family like yours and a base camp to call their own. There are also so many humans who say they don't like cats, are afraid of them, or are just dog people. Quite simply, we need them all. While we can continue to take sides in the matter, the solution resides in our ability to compassionately educate, dispel myths, and in doing so, create a larger pool of adopters to give all of the homeless a home. Further, we need to spread the word even more aggressively about how spaying and neutering for house cats and TNR for feral cats can, for the first time, bring about a reality where we don't have to kill cats because there are just too many. The human side of Cat Mojo is defined by those who realize that their guardianship extends well past the walls of their own home and into their community. Feral cats are our cats. Homeless cats are ours also. And ultimately, so is the exponential joy we can feel and spread as we help shape a world that mirrors the love and familial protection we feel for all cats. Now, go forth and mojify the world. This concludes the reading of Total Cat Mojo, The Ultimate Guide to Life with Your Cat by Jackson Galaxy with Michael Delgado and Bobby Rock. Copyright 2017 by Jackson Galaxy. This book was read by Sam Osheroff. This unabridged audiobook was recorded by arrangement with Tarcher Perigee, an imprint of Penguin Publishing Group, a division of Penguin Random House, LLC, and was produced in 2018 by Blackstone Audio, Inc., which holds the copyright. Neither this recording nor any portion of it may be reproduced or used for any purpose without prior written authorization from Blackstone Audio, Inc. If you would like to obtain a monthly update telling you about new releases, call 1-800-SAY-BOOK. That's 1-800-729-2665. For a complete listing of our titles, visit our website at www.downpour.com. Thank you.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.